You're at the tailgates of hell. The NFC East podcast for the common man. Here are your hosts, Jason Giaconia and Benjamin David.
Three games to go in the NFL season. It's going quick. Welcome to the Tailgates of Hell NFC East podcast for the common man. Ben David, Jason Giaconia, Vikings, Eagles, Patriots, Jaguars, just like we all drew it up to start the year.
I mean, yeah, guess not. At least there's still one NFC East team actually in the playoffs, so this podcast isn't completely rendered meaningless for this week, at least. So
real quick, we'll hit on last weekend, wrap up the divisional round. So, I mean, they call it the miracle in Minnesota, whatever the hell you want to call it. That was insane.
I mean, I know this is sort of hyperbole, and I may be wrong, but at this moment, I cannot remember a better ending to a playoff game in my life. It was insane.
Like, he crossed the goal line as the clock went from one to zero.
I mean, there's a lot we can unpack in this game, but specifically on that play, like, when he caught it, I jumped out of my seat because it's like, holy shit, he's a yard past the field goal line, right? Because they put the little the field goal's like money shot line, right? Right. On the field. So he caught it. I think he was 1 or 2 yards past that, and he was right on the sideline. It's like, okay, dude, just step out and give your field goal. Let the guy kick the field goal as time expires. But then he spins because that quarterback completely
Marcus Williams.
Whips. The quarterback blocks his own player, the closest guy to tackle him. And when he spun around and started moving, and the camera sort of didn't really pan up, but you know, they sort of take the wider shot a little bit, and you can see that there's no one around him. It was one of those, like, well, I mean, you don't have to describe it. Everybody sort of experienced. It was wild. I could not believe the end of that game. Case Keenum, who is this guy? I don't know. The whole thing is just wild to me.
So I can't remember a game. I mean, the Music City Miracle is the first thing that comes to mind as
yes.
a game that was just like, okay, where were you when this happened? Like,
yeah.
And back then you didn't have tech. So I'll be honest, I did not see it live. So, and this is how I know it was one of the greatest plays in NFL history. So I was at a pretty nice, like, seafood restaurant. And when we left the house, it was 17-0 Vikings. And, I mean, this Vikings team has been kicking people's asses all year. And even though it's Drew Brees and the Saints, I'm like, yeah, I don't see it. So I'm following the game on my phone, and it gets closer and closer and closer. And then I was going to the bathroom. Like, I was walking past the bar when it was this 4th and 10 for the Saints. And, you know, as they're driving the way to kick the, at that time, game-winning field goal. And I see him convert the first down. I'm like, all right, they're going to kick the field goal. This game's over. So I go back. I sit down. And maybe, like, 5 minutes later, like, the bar in this, like, really nice, swanky seafood restaurant, like, erupts. And I'm like, oh, something just happened. So I look at my phone. And, you know, the Saints were down 17-0. And I see Miracle
yeah.
in Minneapolis. I said, oh, my God, what a game. And I'm like, it's completely possible that the – Saints just kicked a field goal to win, and, you know,
yeah.
maybe there's some safe. But then I start seeing the text messages. It's like, you know, the little apple pops up 1, 2, 3, and, like, I think
yeah.
it was up to, like, 12. I'm like, what the hell happened? And for it to happen in Minnesota, I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of on this Vikings team. Like, they're kind of hooked.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I got to tell you. Well, first of all, credit to the Saints because – the Vikings were kicking the snot out of them in that first half. I mean, it looked like a total blowout was coming in Minneapolis. And then for them to bring it back, I mean, is incredible in itself. I mean, I think the biggest like point total the Saints come back from was like 14 points. You know, so it's just the whole thing was crazy. That's why you love some of these playoff games that just go absolutely bananas. And, I mean, it was just out of this world. And now, me, I hope I'm with you. I hope the Vikings don't have a letdown this week. because I want a Super Bowl home team in the host city, and that city will be crazy. And you know what? The Vikings, it to me, it would be like, because the Vikings to me are like a classic NFL franchise, and they have had some terrible beats in the playoffs over the years. I mean, I don't know if there's a fan base who's had it worse than them when it comes to plus. Maybe the Browns, those old Browns teams from the 80s, but
well, I mean, the Vikings have been to the playoffs four, or not the playoffs, the Super Bowl four times. They lost that. I mean, we talked on a show 1 or 2 weeks ago. You know, you had the Favre interception against the Saints. You had, I mean, the year they were 15-1 and somehow, you know, tripped up against the Falcons in the championship game. Morton Anderson or Gary Anderson, whichever one it was, had missed a kick in like 2 years and missed a chip shot to win the game. So
didn't he fall kicking it? And then, of course, that Giants game where they were 13-3 or whatever it was and had to go in the Meadowlands.
And the Giants were up.
The Giants were up 21-0 in the first 90 seconds of that game. So they've had some terrible, terrible losses. Of course, if you talk to Chris Carter, is convinced that the Giants were like intercepting their play calls through the radio.
Yeah, that's a 41-point swing right there.
But anyways.
Yeah, so
crazy game. Crazy game.
Yeah, and last week, three out of the four games were pretty good. I mean, the one I got to watch pretty much in its entirety, soup to nuts, was the Patriots-Titans, which sucked. But Jaguars with an upset, and, you know, even though they were up a couple scores the whole game, it's one of those games where when the underdog is doing that, like, you're just like, okay, well, here come the Steelers. They made it a one-point game, like a one-score game. And it was a lot of fun to watch. Eagles hung on. We'll talk about them a little bit in a bit. But I don't know. I did not get to see, you know, the ins and outs of the game. Everybody was talking about what a great game plan it was. But 15 points, like, is that really that impressive against the Falcons, who give up quite a bit?
I mean, it's impressive that they came back and won. But to me, again, that game was more of the Falcons choking than
anything else.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, okay, if you and to your point, 15 points is not like a master comeback. You know what I mean?
And it's not a master game plan. I mean, obviously, defensively, you hold the Falcons to 10 points. You did something right. Like,
right.
And that's what I think we've talked about is if the Eagles are going to make a run, it's going to have to be that defense we saw early in the season
that
was
absolutely
getting to the quarterback. But offensively, especially playing this Vikings team, I know you're at home this week. I don't know. I just
– Nick Foles looked like dog shit in the first half of that game. I mean, he – some of those passes, and I don't know if it was nerves or what. He just had to get his footing. He ended up playing pretty well in the second half, but – my God, that stunk. But again, the Falcons have what? First and goal at the 2 yard line or whatever it was.
They can't punch it in.
I mean, that's the Falcons. They are the biggest chokers I have ever seen as an NFL franchise. And I mean, this is like a core Falcons team, too. So it's not like you can't say, oh, the jerseys change and blah, blah, blah. Right. Like, literally, it's Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, Dan Quinn. Of course, there was Mike Smith a few years ago. But this is all the same team.
Right.
So, God, we'll see. I mean, I don't want to discount the Eagles because they're one game away from the Super Bowl.
Right.
So
you'd be and they're crazy full. To do I that. Mean, you never know. Like one game is one game. Anything we know, anything can happen.
Yeah, it wouldn't shock me. You know, I mean, the Vikings after that win, they may be on a carpet ride. So we'll see what happens this weekend. But certainly, if you look at the two teams in the championship game, the Vikings look like the better squad right now.
Yeah, so we'll pick the games in just a few minutes. 3-0-1 last week. When it was 17-0 Vikings, I was like, oh, I'm going 4-0 this week. And then you were about to go 4-0, and then then it was a push because it was a 5-point game. They didn't kick the extra point.
Can you believe that?
That they don't kick the extra
point? Well, I can kick it, but it's just like what a killer for
right.
For
and it's just hilarious that it's right on the line of what it was. Mike Pereira said they kick it for point differential purposes, which is a tiebreaker in the regular season. Like, who cares? Just write it into the rule book. You don't have to kick in the playoffs.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty sure that the Vikings, they took the knee, obviously, but I'm pretty sure there was, like, only five players on
right
Saints defense.
It took, 5 minutes to kick the PAT.
Yeah, so
So coaching carousel, there's been no official hirings, I don't think, but it looks like McDaniels to the Colts, Patricia to the Lions, and Shermer to the Giants. We'll talk about those in just a minute. So that leaves just the Cardinals, right?
Yes, yes.
Who the hell are they hiring?
Well, Titans as well.
Oh, that's right. I forgot all about that in this quick moving week. Mularkey was getting an extension and got fired a couple days later. So you throw the Titans on the list. But I feel like the Cardinals and Titans are going to end up with some – I mean, maybe Mularkey will just go to the Cardinals.
Yeah, I think McDaniels may end up at the Titans too. I don't know that the Colts one is locked up. I think Patricia and Shermer are pretty much set at this point. But for the Titans to fire Mularkey and – after this, you know, two playoff games, and then, you know, after an extension is offered, you know, who knows what the extension was, but to me it sounds like the Titans had a plan, and I know there's some Patriots connections in Tennessee, so to me that says that the Titans have somebody lined up, and the fact that they haven't hired him means that they're still coaching right now. So, well, there's a little intrigue there, but yeah, five jobs remain open this late in the year, which is a little bit of a rarity.
All right, so we'll talk some NFC East now, and this is a perfect place to start. We'll start with the Giants. Thoughts on the likely hire of Pat Shermer to the Giants?
I mean, I don't love it. I'm not, like, over the moon about it. It's very underwhelming to me. I do not think Pat Shermer was their first choice. I could be wrong. I don't have any inside information or anything, but it does not appear that he was their first choice. Who was their first choice? I don't know. I don't think we'll ever know. But here's what we do know. Spags interviewed. He was never going to get it. Wilkes interviewed from Carolina. He was considered the front runner for a while and for a couple jobs, and he's still in Carolina. So my guess is that he had a pretty bad interview. He wasn't ready for prime time. They interviewed Studsville, who was the running back coach and assistant head coach in Denver. He did not get the job. That was a weird interview, I think. I don't think he was ever really in contention. And then obviously you had Patricia, McDaniels, and Shermer. And, you know, at the time when Shermer interviewed, we heard that he blew the ownership away with his interview. That was really good. But, again, he did not get the job. You know, he didn't get hired right after the interview. So that tells me that he wasn't the number one choice. Not that they could have hired him, but, you know, news didn't start to break about Shermer until the other Patriots assistants' news started to break. So my gut feeling is at the end of the day that they wanted one of the Pats assistants and for a variety of reasons didn't give it to him. Now, I think that's probably because McDaniels wanted too much control, and I think because Patricia is a first-time head coach and they didn't want that. But, you know, Pat Shermer was a bum in Cleveland, which...
You almost forget he coached there.
Yeah, which I don't know if you can hold that against him. That was during that whole Mike Holmgren era. Holmgren didn't really have a ton of glowing things to say about him, but listen, what I think this move signals is they are drafting a quarterback at number two. I think it also means they're keeping Eli Manning. I mean, I think it's about – if you're Pat Shermer, don't you want Eli – if Pat Shermer thinks Eli Manning has even an ounce of play left in him, don't you want Eli Manning for the next 2 years while you groom your quarterback of the future?
Yeah, and I almost think we're going to start to see in the NFL a little bit – you know, we see all these teams like bust on quarterbacks because they draft them, they throw them out into the fire on crappy teams, and – it like completely stunts them. Like back in the day in like the 80s and 90s, you drafted these guys, they didn't play for 2 years. It's not like that anymore, but I almost think it's going to start to slowly revert back to how that was.
I agree because it only really changed like 10 years, maybe, I don't know, what is this, 2018? So probably like 14 years ago, 15 years ago, because, you know, when Eli got drafted and Ben and Rivers got drafted, they were not
Ben was the only
starters.
One that played.
Yeah,
and well, that's because Tommy Maddox went out. Season,
but Ben played. Yeah, exactly. He was going to sit the whole year,
and then they went. And then I feel like one, and that almost flipped the whole thing.
Yeah, and then in 2005, and I think it's because Roethlisberger had so much success his rookie year, all of a sudden it was like, let's play the young guys. And then as the years went on, like Luck and
RG3
both just feel like it was like this weird, you got to play right away sort of deal. But you look at, I mean, you're absolutely right. I think we may go back, and especially if the Giants do this and it works out really well, I absolutely think you'll see teams go back to that. I mean, look at Aaron Rodgers, right? He's the best quarterback in the league, and he sat for 3 years.
Right.
So there's evidence to say that now. The only, you know, thing that would tell you that's not going to happen is there's just not enough good quarterbacks in the NFL for that to be a thing. But Garoppolo, another guy who sat for years. You know what I mean? So I think we may see this. Anyways, back to Shurmur. My big concern, and this is a big concern, is that they're going to keep Spags as the defensive coordinator, which would be absolutely insane. If they keep Todd Quinn as the special teams coordinator, it may go apoplectic. But this team needs a clean break, and the fact that this ownership cannot create that is terrifying to me. Not that I think Spags is a bad D coordinator. I think he's a good D coordinator. Not that I think that I dislike him or anything. I mean, I think every Giants fan sort of wished it worked out that Spags was an amazing coach and Coughlin,
just,
he would have stayed D coordinator for 10 years and then become the Giants head coach when Coughlin left. But, that obviously didn't happen. So I just, Shurmur was Spags' offensive coordinator when Spags was a head coach in St. Louis. So, and of course, Shurmur will be coming in so late that he, you know, a lot of the assistants will be booked up. It's just, we'll see. Underwhelming. I don't hate it. I don't love it. I'm excited about the possibility of, I mean, Patrick Shurmur took Case Keenum and made him, Case Keenum's going to make a shitload of money in this offseason based
right.
on this season. So, you know, that's exciting to me, but it's just sort of a vanilla hire. And I honestly feel like the Giants sort of got left at the altar a little bit with this head coaching search. So I don't know if this is going to be a 10-year head coach or like a 3-year head coach or 4-year head coach. We'll see, but looks like it's Shurmur. They're going to announce him, you know, the day after the Vikings are done. And, you know, we'll see what happens.
All right. Elsewhere in the NFC East, I have literally nothing. There's nothing that's happened with the Redskins this week. There's nothing that I've seen with the Cowboys this week. It's that time of year. So I think we'll just press on. We went 3-0-1 last week. People are going to want to make some money off of us this week. So it's Championship Sunday. I get worried about this every year because I feel like each year, and you got 4 games to choose from, the divisional round produces at least one classic but is usually generally pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And then I feel like you get to the championship week, and more often than not, I feel like it's a letdown. So last year you had Patriots-Steelers, which was good on paper and sucked. Patriots won 36-17. Falcons destroyed the Packers. The year before, the Panthers killed the Cardinals in the NFC. Broncos and Patriots, we watched this game together. It was 20-18 was the final. I don't remember that being a close – I mean, I just don't remember it. So we'll see what this year produces. We got 2 games. We'll start with the early one, Jaguars-Patriots. So the Jaguars are now 12-6, Patriots 14-3. Patriots lead this all-time series. Drum roll, 10 games to 1. Last time these two played, the Patriots won 51-17, and Patriots are 3-1 in the playoffs against the Jaguars. So this is a weird game. The line opened at 9. It's now down to 7. I was kind of all over the Jaguars early, and now the more that the week goes on, I'm kind of like, what am I really thinking with this team? I feel like their defense is like a ton. I just feel like they're a bunch of badasses, but they gave up 42 points, I think, last week to the Steelers.
Yeah, I think that's the thing that people are forgetting is that, yes, the defense is very good, but they almost let the Steelers come back and win. So first, before we even talk about this, I just have to say the Steelers are such a soft team mentally, and honestly, I would have fired Mike Tomlin after this week. The fact that they were all talking about the Patriots while the team that had destroyed you in week three or whatever it was, just coming into town. I mean, and that falls right on the head coach.
Right.
To me. I mean, that was incredible. I think Tomlin's it feels like he's wearing out his welcome a little bit in Pittsburgh. So we'll see what happens there. I don't think he'll get fired.
Well, he acts, and I like Mike Tomlin. Like, I would take him in a heartbeat. But he acts like he's on that upper echelon of, you know, like a Bill Belichick or a guy who's been there a lot. But he really hasn't. I mean, he's been to one Super Bowl. He's been to a handful of championship games, lost most of them. Yeah. And I mean, look at the division they're playing in. I mean,
Got two Super Bowls, right? Didn't he win one and lose one?
Did he win? So they lost to the Packers.
They beat the Seahawks.
I forget he was the one that was with the Cardinals. I forget Power left after 05. Yeah, okay, so he's 1-1. But, yeah, I'm with you. And some of those decisions, the 4th-and-1, I think that was twice in that game they had 4th-and-1. Ben Roethlisberger went on the radio this week and said they don't even have a quarterback sneak in their playbook. And with a guy like that, I mean, that guy's pushing 250.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it's because Roethlisberger, like, they duct tape them together after every game. But I know they did fire Todd Haley, so that, you know, that may be a thing. But, you know, you can look back to the Giants and the Steelers and even the Chargers, even though they never won. You know, the success of those franchises over the last decade and a half are directly related to the quarterbacks. Right. You know what I mean? So it's hard for me to, like, sort of, you know, I mean, obviously Tomlin deserves credit, he does, but it's like, to me, it wasn't the coaches in those situations. But anyways, back to the we'll see what happens with the Steelers, but back to this game.
So I'm going through the Jaguars schedule right now. So they gave up, I mean, they've had some shutouts or some low point, like, so they gave up 7 to the Titans or to the Texans, but then they gave up 37 to the Titans. They then only give up 7 to the Ravens. Then they lose to the Jets, who stink. Then they play a great game against the Steelers, and then they beat they give up 27 to the Rams. They shut out the Colts. They give up 17 to the Chargers. 27 to the Cardinals. So there's, like, I'm going through this, 44 to the 49ers. So this team is, I feel like they're either, like, if you look at their schedule, it's either they're giving up 37 or 7, and it's kind of hot and cold. And when you're playing the Patriots, which one do you think it's going to be?
Right. I mean, I will say this about the Jags. There's two things that make me think they have a shot. One is that defense reminds me of the Giants defense in 07. Which I know it's 10 years later, so it's like, but that's like if you go back in history, that was the one
recipe.
Defense that just scrambled Tom Brady, right? And even compared to like the Seahawks and the Giants in 11 and the Falcons last year, like none of them were quite like that. But the other thing is Tom Coughlin. I know this is overplayed, but he's a Patriot killer.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, and he's changed that team. So I don't know. I mean,
they really have no pressure. You're the Jaguars going to New England to play the Patriots. It's not like if this was the Steelers or maybe the Chiefs or a team that's always, you know, that's one thing, but you're like, nobody expects you to win.
Right. Nobody, literally. So I think that if the defense plays at its best and Bortles plays like he played this past weekend, they absolutely have a shot. Do I think that's going to happen?
No.
No, I do not. So, but you said
it's down to 7 as of right now.
I think this is the better game this weekend.
I hope so.
I'm taking
going,
the Patriots.
Yeah, 7 points. If it was still up to 9 or 10 where it started, I'd have a little bit more pause. But like, it's the Patriots. They just they don't slip up almost never.
And before we put a bow on this, the Jaguars have been to 3 AFC Championship games. The first two in their existence, Tom Coughlin was the coach. The third was the first year Coughlin came back as the head of football operations. In between that time period, they've won one playoff game. That's like a 20-year swing. So can we just put Tom Coughlin in the Hall of Fame already?
He should be there regardless, but maybe a couple more years. So, all right, NFC Championship game. NFC East is represented. Philadelphia Eagles host the Minnesota Vikings. Eagles are 14-3, Vikings 14-3 as well. These teams last met last season. Eagles won 21-10. Both teams were not very good last year. They've met three times in the playoffs. Eagles 3-0 against the Vikings. Last time they met was in 09. Eagles won that one 26-14. So the line is Minnesota -3 in Philadelphia. So that'd be -6 on a neutral field, or, you know, close to 9 if they were in Minnesota. I don't know. I've gone back and forth all week on this, where I'm like, you know what? I think the Eagles are going to play up that underdog role, and they're given like underdog masks or something out in Philadelphia, like a bunch of losers. Oh, yeah. And then I'm like, you know, Minnesota, they're either going to ride. Like, two things happen when you win a game like the Vikings won last week. You either ride that, or you could, like, crash from that, too, when you have such a swing. But they're first in the league in defense. And you're playing Nick Foles. If this was Carson Wentz, I think everybody would be kind of on the Eagles' bandwagon. But they just offensively, they haven't looked good since he left. I mean, they played the one game against the Giants where they were okay. But it was the 3-13 Giants at that point. And other than the home field advantage, I think, is the only thing that gives me pause in this game. Because that is a tough place to play. And the Vikings are now going outdoors, which you would think, yeah, they're a cold weather city, but they play in a nice dome up in Minnesota.
Yeah. I'm with you. I think the Vikings win as long as they – I think we'll know who's winning that game in, like, the first 5 minutes.
I agree.
If the Vikings come out and they look fine, I think they're going to win.
Or this is going to be, like, 2002 – where the Eagles come out like they did against the Buccaneers. They go up 7-0 in a blink of an eye, and you're like, oh, they're feeling it, and then they don't score again.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Vikings defense is a lot better than the Falcons. And, you know, I feel like the Vikings sort of got this thing going, though, too, where it's just like they're winning games, you know, and they find ways to win. You know, Nick Foles, I mean, he could be like a a Steve Young or a Hostetler sort of quarterback here, where he comes in and wins.
But you think he would have done that by now? Like, like he's auditioning he's not auditioning. He's all they got right now. But they're just not. It's not happening. So it's like, well, why do I think it's going to happen this week against the best defense in the league?
I mean, and you know, if you look at the last six games of the Eagles, the offense has stunk. I mean, yes, they came back against the Falcons, but it was 15 points.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like they've done nothing miraculous. They are winning, which is impressive. But it's – they've not – I don't know. I just see if the Vikings get up early on them. I just don't see this Vikings team taking their foot off their throat.
That's a lesson learned for the Vikings last week.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was the Saints – this is not the same Eagles team with Nick Foles in there. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, would it shock me one bit if the Eagles win this game? No. Like, Minnesota turns it over once or twice, and boom. And Eagles still have a good defense. Like, I don't want to discredit that because
– and they're opportunistic. They get turnovers at the right time. What's the spread again?
3. Minnesota is – and that's the other thing. Like, Minnesota's a favorite in Philadelphia, which I'm always kind of – it just – you want to take the points with an underdog when you can, you feel like, but I don't know. I have no real feel for this game. I think Minnesota wins it, but it would not shock me if Philadelphia did. And then I think if – so what – the Patriots are in the Super Bowl. Like, there's no – like, if it's the Eagles, it's like a 1980 Super Bowl where the Patriots win by like 40, right?
I agree with that, yeah. Yeah, I don't see the Eagles. They're a team running on fumes, which is okay. I mean, you're still running. It's not to say they can't win, but they just don't have that oomph that they had earlier in the year.
Right.
And you've seen teams over the years who've been really, really, really good just run out of gas. So we'll see. We'll see. I'm going Vikings. I'm with you though. I could see the Eagles winning this game and going to the Super Bowl. Because they have. Let's be honest. No one gives them a shot. So right. If I was an Eagles player, I'd be pretty pissed. I don't know. After that game and the way the Vikings played, and
I'm going Vikings as well. I feel some confidence with them. I don't feel any confidence going in with the Eagles. So, all right, we both picked the Patriots. We both picked the Vikings. We were 3-0-1 last week. So hopefully we can continue this right to the gravy train. All right, that's it. So Ben David, Jason Jaconia, you're listening to the Tailgates of Hell podcast. It's the NFC East podcast for the common man.
You're listening to the Tailgates of Hell, the NFC East podcast for the common man. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes or Google Play.